Everybody, come on and concert and sing. Well, it's that time again for us to give God the praises. We're just so glad to be in his house on today. Let us stand wherever you may be situated and let's lift up the name of God and we shall give his name the praises. God, we thank you this morning again for what you're going to do. We can sense that you're already here. We're coming off of the first service and we're entering into more of your glory. More of your anointing. We're going to worship and praise your name. We're going to call you awesome God. We're going to see you do it again. We're not going to withhold anything in our praise. We shall worship you in spirit and in truth. Let's clap our hands and declare that God is good. Here we go. Awesome God, he reigns forever. Our God is an awesome God, he reigns forever and ever. Oh yes he does. If you know it, help us say it all over the building.
Our God is an awesome God, he reigns forever and ever. Our God is an awesome God.
Say it again.
Healing God, he reigns forever and ever.
I want you to look at three people after I tell you this and tell three people for the Father, the Son, and who else? I just want to make sure y'all knew who y'all was talking about and serving. Tell them, say, neighbor, it's time to give God a real intense praise. Come on, tell them. You're the preacher right now. Come on, let's give it up for the wise God, our Savior. Clap your hands like this. Come on, all over the building. Come on, let's cut those hands.
You are good all the time, all the time. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship you
for who you are.
Now sing it right up to God. Say it, tell him.
We worship you.
And we say,
hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship you for who you are.
One more time we say,
we worship you.
Hey,
hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship you.
Here we go.
Who you are.
Who you are.
Who you are.
Lord, you are. Sound your alarm and praise him. God, we thank you with our hands lifted and our mouths filled with praise. Hearts of thanksgiving. We'll bless you in this place.
Walking around these walls, I thought by now they'd fall, but you have never failed me yet. Waiting for change to come, knowing the battle's won, for you have never failed me yet. Your promise still stands, great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. my confidence. You never fail. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail me yet.
Reminded. He's done it before. Never doubt that your God is unable to do it. Every human voice may say it's over, but you have to believe the report of the Lord. Remind yourself that there is nothing impossible that God cannot do. There are too many witnesses standing around you that has seen the handiwork of God. They can tell you he can do it. For all of those that God did it for, whether he healed your body or he kept your mind in perfect peace, I want the people that don't believe to hear your voice.
I see you do it.
You made a way. worship, 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 worship him, yeah. Oh, oh. Go. God, we've seen you do it before, and we know that you can do it again. We've seen you make miracles happen before, and we still believe that you can do it again. So since you're greater than any force in this earth, we simply worship you for already doing it. For already doing it. Hallelujah. Everybody say that with me. Withholding nothing. Yes, we do.
Withholding nothing.
Withholding
nothing. Withholding nothing.
Two more times, come on.
Withholding nothing. Withholding nothing.
Give you all of me. I give you all of me. I give you
all of me.
That's it.
I give you all of me.
Say it again.
I give you all of me.
I give you. Those hands, if you don't have them lifted, come on. All in the back, come on, come on. Presence of the living God. Move from the back to the front. Sit up on the people of God now. As we sing to you, we give you all of us. Take it all out, God. Heal us, make us new. Give us your mind as we view in this world, in this current age. We give you all of us word our mouths as we work on our jobs and go to our schools, and because we give you all of us. Hallelujah, Jesus.
King Jesus, my Savior forever. King Jesus, my Savior forever.
Whisper that to your God, come on.
King Jesus, my Savior forever. King Jesus, my Savior forever. King Jesus,
see what Jesus is doing here? It's called the unity of the faith. It doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter how tall you are, how short you are. It doesn't matter the color of your skin. It doesn't matter what country you're from. You see, when we're in the presence of the living God, we become one. We're one faith and one heart. We're one people. This week has been a challenging week for our country. And I want to address this because I think it's very important that we make sure that it does not enter the kingdom. I want to remind you that you and I are not governed by this world system, but we're governed by the Constitution called the Word of God. This is very important for us because what happens in this world many times affects the church rather than the church affecting the world. If you look up on the wall, you'll find that there are 20 nations that are in this church. And actually, there are more than that. There's a Puerto Rican flag that needs to go up from Puerto Rico. There is Brazilian flag that needs to go up. South African flag needs to go up. There are nations that are in this house. And one of the greatest plans of the enemy is to divide. Our country right now is struggling because there's a great division. You'll notice that we never preach politics here. And there's a reason for that. Because this is not about politics. This is about the kingdom in this place. And in the kingdom, there's no male, there's no female, Jew or Gentile. We are one heart. We are one body. The Bible makes a declaration in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. That there should be no division in the body, but the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all members rejoice with it. You know, the scripture is very clear here, and that is there should be no divisions. Some of you voted Republican. Some of you voted Democratic. Some of you voted Independent. Some of you didn't vote at all. And all of that is for the world system. But I've got news for you. It really doesn't matter who gets voted in because the ultimate will of God is going to come to fruition. There will be an end times. There will be the rapture of the church. There will be the great tribulation. There will be the battle of Armageddon. And if the enemy can get into the body of Christ and divide the body of Christ over the world system, then he's won. Because honestly, we're the only hope for this world. The church, the body of Christ, are the only ones who have the hope of the world. His name is Jesus. Amen. So I want to challenge you. Don't allow division. Some of you need to be careful on Facebook. I've had people responding to me, Pastor, I feel like there are people in our church that hate us because we voted a certain way. I want you to know something. I don't care how you vote. I care if you're going to heaven. Amen. There are also, and this is very important, everyone sees these events through a different set of glasses. And you need to be careful. There are people, groups in the house today that it brings forth fear. There are some, well, actually every people group, it brings forth fear. However you looked at it. The issue is this. In this house, we love each other. And when one hurts, we all hurt. And you know, I was talking to someone this week and I said, listen, if they touch you, they touch me. Because we are the body of Christ. And these nations, if the enemy can drive the nations out of the house of God and separate the house of God, then he wins. You and I are not governed by this world system. We're governed by the kingdom. Amen. I said amen. This should be a place where there is no fear. This should be a place where there is absolute safety because we love each other. And today I just make that declaration. And I want to bind any spirit of division that would try to come into this church, into this house, in Jesus' name. Can I hear an amen? Father, I come against, we come against, Lord, where two touch one thing, it shall be done. We come against any spirit of division and hatred that would try to raise up in this church. We bind that devil in the name of Jesus, for there is no spirit of fear allowed. There is no terror allowed, but God, only peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Father, your word says there is no division. And when one hurts, we all hurt. When one rejoices, we all rejoice. And God, we apprehend your word. We live your word, not this world system. Father, we pray for our governments. We pray, God, that you give us more time to save more souls. That's the only thing I pray for. God, we need more time to see more people saved, set free in Jesus' name. God, I ask in the name of Jesus, that you move by your power, that great revival will sweep across America. And that the greatest harvest will happen that's ever happened before in these last days. And that, God, you'll not overlook this house because we're in one heart, with one mind, with one accord to do one thing. And that is to seek and to save them which are lost. We will not be deterred. We will not be divided. We'll not be distracted. And we bind any spirits that would try to do that in the name of Jesus. God, we refuse the spirit of politics in this church. We raise up Jesus, the head of the church, and upon his shoulders are the governments. We raise you up, Jesus, and declare you as Lord in Jesus' name. And everybody in agreement said? Amen. I said everybody in agreement said? Amen. Why don't you go find five people? Now, hold on. I want to say this. Second service is a little snobby in the first service. Now, you need to hear that. I want you to be all out. Go find somebody you don't know and say, I'm not a snob. Go meet somebody you don't know. Shake their hand. Say, good morning. We're part of the family of God together. Thank you.
Your growth is directly tied into your success, and we want to see you successful in your Christian walk. I want to introduce you to Next Steps Level 1. You can attend this Tuesday nights, Wednesday mornings, or Thursday nights for Rock Solid Faith. It is a year-long class that is absolutely life-changing. And then session 2, step 2, is marriage, and that's going on Tuesday nights at 7 p.m. This will be a series of 8-week classes. We want to encourage you, if you've done Rock Solid Faith, sign up for step 2. If you haven't got started, get started today. You can go to histabernacle.com and register. You can come right to the hub, or you can email nextsteps@histabernacle for more information. Hey, HisTab, I've got some exciting news for you. Evangelist Tiff Shuttlesworth is coming here November 20th. He's doing the 9 a.m. service, the 11 a.m. service, and we're even doing a special service here at 6 p.m. Invite your friends and family, and don't miss out.
Praise the Lord. Isn't it great to be part of a family? Turn to someone and say, I love you, even if I don't even know you. Amen. We want to welcome all of our guests. We have so many guests in the house today. We're so excited, all the guests that are here. And we want to celebrate you. We have a free gift. Can everybody say, I like gifts? Listen, you know you like gifts. I love gifts. Don't you love gifts? I like gifts. If you're a guest this morning, we're not going to make you stand up, do any weird things, but we want to bring you a gift right to your chair. If you're a first-time guest, we'd love to celebrate with you this morning. If you'll raise your hand on the third, where? Third row. Very good. Young lady in the third row. There we go. That whole row back there. Very good. They're coming. They're rushing. We have a front row, guys. Front row. Oh, look at that. Right there. We need more. Look at 3 folks right in this section alone. Very good. We got young lady there. Another young lady here. Can I have more? Pastor Dan, we got more. We need at least 3 more in the front. Hallelujah. Isn't it exciting? We'll have you raise your hand back up when I see them come back in the room. That way you don't have to hold your arm up and it falls off. We have to pray for you later. Thank the Lord. Brother Chris just gave me a testimony. God healed him of bursitis last week. Glory to God. It's exciting to see that God heals. Amen. Hi, Alex. How are you? Nice haircut. It's a beautiful day. We want to welcome all of our guests. This morning, we had Pakistan, India, and also Singapore on live stream on first service. Can we give all of our live stream family a hand clap? Thank you so much for being with us. Wherever you are in the world, we love you. We're glad that you're part of us right here in Horse of Heads, New York, right in the middle of this cornfield. They're cutting the cornfield right now, and it's a great day. How many of you love the fall weather? Amen. Isn't it great? Well, we have an announcement to make for you, and that is that our daughter is leaving. This is Corinne's last week with us. She heads off to Bible school down in Florida. She'll leave Friday. So we just want to let you know that she has not left the church or left Jesus. She did not backslide going to hell. She's off to Bible school, and we're going to miss her horribly. If you're a young person, you know, last night, I don't know, how many girls did you have in the house? 12 to 14 girls were sleeping on the floor of our house last night. Her small group, moms and dads, if your children are not going to youth group, I don't understand. Youth group is just great. It's phenomenal. And, you know, a lot of folks said, well, you know, we were busing in a lot of young people in it. It was a little bit chaotic. All that chaos is gone now. And everything is in order. We want to make sure that your children get back into youth ministry. It is an awesome experience. And they'll experience the power of God and change life. And Corinne was one of the small group leaders. And so we're going to miss her horribly. Can you give her a hand clap as she's leaving?
It's so great to be a part of the kingdom of God in every single aspect of our lives, and how much more even in our finances. In times where the world systems, it might be questionable in finances, when we participate in kingdom finances, we don't have to worry about famine, drought, bondage, exile, whatever it is. We will walk in the blessing and the favor of God when we have made our finances a part of kingdom finances. And when we walk in obedience to his word, there is literally no fear for tomorrow because of walking in his kingdom. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 is about the offering and God's order of offering and how we're supposed to have prepared ahead of time what we would give, and that we would give generously so that there would be enough for every good work. And you are a generous church, and there is good work going on all of the time. We have Matthew 25 ministry, which is just one of the ministries that feeds and clothes children from our community. But even more than that, they give them Jesus. They give them hope and a future in Jesus. So it is such a privilege and an honor that our finances go to every good work, and that we have enough for every good work. I am so blessed, and it brings me such peace to walk in the kingdom of God. And it's been a great year as pastor's been speaking on the kingdom, and our mindsets are being shifted. And in all these shifting times, we can have a solid consistency that we are kingdom people. And no matter what it holds, my finances are secure. They are supernatural. My finances aren't based on anything in this natural realm. Hallelujah. My finances are based on the supernatural because I participate with God's kingdom principles and finances. So if you're ready today to participate, to put your tithe and your finances into kingdom economics, into the supernatural, stand to your feet. We're going to make that supernatural declaration. It's from Deuteronomy 28. And if you'll repeat after me, it says, if I obey, I am blessed going in, and I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse, and I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. Shout it out, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord. If you're watching via live stream, click on the giving button and you can participate with Kingdom Finances right along with us.
Our God is an awesome God. He reigns forever and ever. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns forever and ever.
So blessed in this country. Can I hear an amen? Amen? You know, a lot of people, they don't like America. We'd encourage them to get saved or go home. We live in the greatest country in this world. In fact, let's be honest, we were able to vote this week, And whatever way you voted was simply because we were given the privilege and the right to vote. Today's message is the greatest harvest demands the greatest seed. The greatest harvest demands the greatest seed. And what's amazing is we're so used to being in America that we don't know how blessed we are. There are many other nations that they cannot do what we're doing right now. They can't worship like we are. They can't go public like we do. They'd be worrying about the government busting in and literally dragging them out and killing them and their families simply because they love Jesus. We live in the greatest nation on this earth, and God has blessed us. Can I hear an amen? But listen, no harvest is without great sacrifice. And the greatest seed is usually a life. And today, I want to celebrate all the veterans that are in the house. Today, if you're a veteran, I'd like you to stand up. We want to celebrate you. If you've been in any level of the armed forces, will you please stand? All over. Come on, don't be shy. Stand up. Come on, give them a thanks. Let's all stand together.
God bless America.
Thank you, beautiful. What an honor to live in a great country. You know, as we're watching people come against America, it's so important that you recognize the need to be thankful for where we live. Because honestly, most countries don't have the voting opportunity you have, or it's a corrupt situation. And we want to make sure that we just honor God in the opportunity. Amen. How many of you love baby dedications? We got so many babies coming here really soon. We have babies that are fresh in the house. If I could have them all come up. I have the Norton family and also the Cohen family. If I could have you and your families come on up this morning. We want to celebrate and we want to pray over the babies. Can I have some oil there, young man? Uh-oh. I think I did this one first. Oh, come on up. Wow, you're a grandmother. Dear Lord. I remember when they first came.
I'm still not as old as you are.
You are not. You aren't? Oh, that's fine. Hi. How old were you, Sam, when you came? You were 5 years old. Dear Lord, I'm getting old. Oh, you look so beautiful. She's the miracle baby. Do you know that? It's a miracle baby. Well, no, that's not a joke. You know, some people say, well, you know, my baby's a miracle. No, this is a miracle baby. Like, literally, this baby is a miracle. So there's a great celebration. Amen? Today we get to dedicate this baby to Jesus. The baby dedication is so powerful because it has very little to do with the baby. We all know that, right? We're going to pray over the baby, but honestly, the baby don't know what's happening. You don't know what's going on, do you? See? This is for moms and dads, for you and I to dedicate that we are going to raise these children up in the love and admonition of the Lord. You know, that's very powerful. I was speaking this morning. Like I said, my daughter had her small group over. So there's 12, 14 young ladies sleeping in our living room. And I walked in and I simply said this. You don't realize it, but the enemy's after your soul. What that means is this. Is that if that enemy, if the enemy of their soul can take one of those young ladies out of the gospel, then that means not only they are out of the gospel, but they're not going to raise their children in the gospel, which is another generation, which will usually go to the second and the third generation. And all of a sudden, you've got 3 to 4 generations of family that are not with Christ any longer. That's powerful. See, so today is not just about, boy, you know, we want to get a nice little certificate. This is about you actually making a dedication. We're going to raise these children up. They are going to know how to pray. Amen? These baby girls are going to know how to pray. They're going to be intercessors. They're going to know the Word of God. It's not going to be about religion. It's going to be about them knowing Jesus, fulfilling their destiny, and even someday. And come on now, anybody with me? Someday happens really quick, doesn't it? All of a sudden you blink. And she's no longer 5. She's got a baby in her arms. Wow. It blows me away. So today, let's pray. Amen. I want to charge the mothers and the fathers, the grandmothers, the aunts and the uncles, that you will teach these girls how to seek God. That means you're faithful. Last night we were in a store, came around a corner, and I heard, Jesus Christ. And I went, hallelujah. I turned the corner and I recognized the person. And I said, and they were very embarrassed because they recognized me and said, yeah, well, you know, we watch you every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. I said, well, if you come next Sunday, you can say it and not be ashamed. But watch. All they do is parrot you. That's all they know. They're going to learn how to pray. They're going to learn how to be faithful to the house of God. They're going to learn how to do ministry simply by watching you. We are the greatest examples these children will ever have. And so today, I charge you. It's not about a religious ceremony. This is about you standing before God and commissioning yourself. I will help raise them in Christ. Amen? So I want to anoint the baby girls. Miracle baby. Oh. Hi. Did you see that scowl? Dear Lord. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we declare today, God, that the devil can't have these girls. Father, you, before the foundations of the earth, planned them. You knew they'd be here. You knew today was going to happen where, just like it was with Samuel, he was dedicated to the kingdom. God, today we make the declaration that they are not ours, but that they are yours, and that you have a divine plan for them. And God, we're going to teach them, train them, speak into them. Lord, show them how to live for you. God, not only the parents and the families, but also us as the body of Christ will protect them in Jesus' name through prayer. Lord, through the opportunity of encouraging and strengthening. So today, in the name of Jesus, we dedicate them back to you and say, Jesus, fulfill the purpose you have through their lives. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Now, I did do a little swaparoo, I think. I'm not sure. If you find your name's not right in the baby dedication thing, just blame Pastor Obi. Hallelujah. All right? I love it. Can you give him a hand clap this morning? Amen. Thank you so much. We love you. Yay! Amen. Thank you. Hallelujah. I love baby dedications. It just shows the kingdom is growing. Amen. If I could, I'd pray twins on everybody in the room. Boy, I heard a lot of groans and not a lot of happiness. Hallelujah. This year's been a great year, hasn't it? This is the year of kingdom seed. This whole year talking about seed, the principle of heaven. And you know, today I'm just going to share short with you today about the greatest harvest demands the greatest seed. Many times we give God what we want. There was an old song is, we bring the sacrifice of praise. How many remember that song, we bring the sacrifice of praise? Ready? Here we go. I'm going to show you it first. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. How many remember that? Yeah. Oh, man, that's scary, isn't it? All right, we're going to practice it together. Now, you got to do the windshield wipers. Very important, all right? Everybody get half mast. You don't want to go whole. You'll hurt somebody. Everybody go half mast. Half mass, here we go. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the... Isaiah, you do that really, really well. Ready? We'll practice one more time. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the... Now, you know what? It's so funny because when you look at everybody doing that, you're saying, they are messed up in that church for sure. You know, it used to be when we talked about the sacrifice of praise is, well, you know, I'm in the house of God. I got to give him what I got left. God has never been interested in what we have left. Can I hear an amen? God has only ever asked for the greatest seed. The greatest seed and the principles of seed time and harvest are the very propulsion of the kingdom of God. We know that God himself, when he put together the Garden of Eden, he didn't just say, let there be Eden, and there was. God planted a garden called Eden. God lives by the principle of seed time and harvest, which means that if God sets the principle forward, God has to live it out himself, which demands you and I to recognize that if we want the greatest harvest, we must plant the greatest seed. So many of us are okay with planting what we want and hoping for a big harvest, but the large harvest will not come unless you're willing to plant the correct seeds. This is something that is a delusional process in the kingdom where we think we can live one way and acquire something else. Don't be deceived, for God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. If a man sows to the flesh, he shall of the flesh reap corruption. If a man sows to the spirit, he shall of the spirit reap eternal life. Let's not be deceived here today. If you want the greatest harvest in your life, you must be willing to plant the greatest seed. Now, again, this is something that God by nature does. I'd like you to open up with me to the book of John, chapter 12. Starting with verse 24, it says this. I tell you the truth. Everybody shout truth. Shout truth. I remember a young man coming to me one day and saying, what is truth? I'll show you what's truth. This is truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. If you want truth, we've got to listen to the one who is truth. His name is Christ Jesus, the Christos, the Messiah, the Master, the reigning King of kings and Lord of lords. I tell you the truth. Unless a kernel of wheat is planted into soil and dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce many kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives. You see, the greatest seed that God had was Jesus Christ. The greatest harvest he wanted was you. Turn to someone and say, God is after you. A little bit more excited, say, God is after you. You see, the truth is that Jesus Christ is after you. In all the other religions of the world, you've got to seek after that religion. But God said, I'm seeking after them. It's called prevenient grace. Before you even thought about God, he came after you. God is pursuing you. You see, Jesus Christ desires you. He longs for you. This is the very passion of heaven. And for God to acquire the harvest that is even in this room, he had to place forth a seed that was better than just his I guess that's all I got today. He had to give his very best seed to acquire the best harvest. You see, this is a principle that we don't only see in the New Testament, but we see even God requiring in the Old. We've all heard of Abraham, haven't we? I said, we've all heard of Abraham, haven't we? I said, we've all heard of Abraham, haven't we? Abraham was promised something that was very powerful. He said, I'm going to bless you. It's called the Abrahamic Covenant. I'm going to bless you so that every nation that blesses you will be blessed. Every nation that curses you will be cursed. I thank God that America still loves Israel. Can I hear an amen? He made the declaration to Abraham that your seeds will be like the sand that's on the shore and the stars that are in the sky, that he would touch all the nations. And today, you and I are here today because of Abraham. Can we give Father Abraham a hand clap this morning? Thank God for his obedience. But you see, it wasn't just a factor of God giving him a promise. God always tests those that are in the promise. And God spoke to Abraham and gave him a command, and he said this. The Bible actually says in Genesis 22 that he was testing him. And he said, Abraham, I want to send you. I want you to go and sacrifice to me, and I want you to take your son. Now, remember, he had waited many years for this son, the son of promise. He had waited all these years, and yet God spoke to him and said, I want you to go and take your son and sacrifice your son. So Abraham made a decision. I'm going to give my greatest seed for the greatest harvest. So he took his son, and he took two servants. He took the bundles of sticks, and he took a fire, and he went to the mountain where God had showed him, and then he started up the mountain with his son. He left the servants behind. His son looked at him and said, Dad, I see the wood, I see the fire, but where's the sacrifice? And I love what Abraham said. Our God will provide. Amen? You see, God is always on your side. He's not against you, but he demands to have the greatest harvest. You must be willing to plant the greatest seed. If you're only giving half of your life to God and only allowing God to have just certain parts of you, then you cannot expect the greatest harvest that God has already planned for you. You see, God can prophesy to you all the great things he wants to do. God can show us in the Word all the promises that are in the book that are yea and amen. God can produce that abundantly above all that you could even ask or imagine he will do in your life, that God will bless you abundantly above all these things, that God can do and wants to do all of that, but God can only do them if you're willing to sacrifice the greatest things. America, we look at process in our lives, and many Americans are not willing to sacrifice a lot. And we did sections last week. Let's not go there this week. We want to sacrifice enough to get out of hell, but that's not what God is after. God is after your life. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives. I walk by faith and not by sight. It's no longer my will, but your will. I must decrease so he can increase. The whole process that God is working in our lives is bringing out the greatest seed, and the greatest seed is our life. God is after you. If you want to save your life, you must lose your life. You see, it's the opposite of the world's philosophy. The world's philosophy is if you want it, grab it, take it, keep it, hoard it, do what you got to do to protect it. But God is, if you want it, give it away. If you want a great harvest, you must plant the seed of the greatest. You must die to self and allow the Word of God to arise within you. And that comes as you and I recognize that I am not willing to satisfy with just the menial. I want the best that God has in my life. You see, Abraham was struggling with this. Let's be honest, because he's, even though he trusts God, he's looking at the reality of now he's up on top of the mountain, he's built the altar, he's now bound his son up, and he's getting ready to plunge the knife into his son. You see, God at that moment stopped him and made this declaration in Genesis 22, verse 12. And God said, "Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." The Bible says in Genesis 22, verse 15 through 18, "Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time and said, 'By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing, I will bless you. Multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven and the sand of the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gates of the enemy. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice.'" If you want the greatest harvest, there's the demand for the greatest seed. We see that Abraham is a type and shadow of God himself and Jesus Christ. God did not send an angel to die on the cross. God sent his only son to die on the cross. We all know the verse, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there is a cost to have harvest. There is a cost to have the greatest harvest. It means you must be willing to plant the greatest seed. It takes personal sacrifice to gain the greatest harvest. What are you willing to sacrifice to get the greatest harvest from God? What are you willing to give up to get the greatest harvest of heaven? So many of us are driven by our own will, our own attitudes, our own desires, our own goals, our own vision. And God is saying, no, you see, you plan all those things and there'll be a level of success for you. But if you'll allow me to be the God of your life, if you allow me to be the God of your family, if you'll allow me to be the God of your business, if you'll allow me to be the God of your money, if you'll allow me to be the God of your body, I will bring forth blessings that you can't even comprehend. Because I am the God of the harvest, but there must be a seed before you can get a harvest. And it always is required of greatest seed. You know, many times we look at the world and how it works, and we like the fact of getting certain things for doing nothing. I've been against, you know, I call it welfare Christianity. You know, there's a time for people to come to the body of Christ and to be encouraged and to be strengthened, to be built up. But then everybody's got to do something. Can I hear an amen? Turn to someone and say, don't be a slug. You see, welfare Christianity is when people come to church and all they do is sit down and take. But God, by nature, says this: if you want a greater harvest in your life, it's not about taking, it's about giving. It's about you and I saying, God, my life is not my own. Lord, what have you called me to do? Where do you want me to put my hand to the plow? Who do you want me to share the gospel with? Lord, I want to see your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God, I want to be and bring glory to your name. So, Jesus, what do you want me to do that will bring sacrifice to my life that you will get glory from who I am? You know, there's a movie, probably one of my favorite movies. I can only watch it so many times. But the very first time I saw this, I saw how I was with God. And I saw how honestly my personal sacrifice and the level that I was willing to sacrifice wasn't close to the harvest that I was asking for. And I had to ask myself a question. If somebody is willing to sacrifice for the natural, what should we be willing to sacrifice for the supernatural? Do we have that video, gentlemen? Here we go. Lights. Camera. Action.
Merci.
The prisoner wishes to say a word.
They just got done or getting ready to disembowel the man. For one reason, and that is freedom. I looked at my own personal life as a pastor and I said, what am I willing really to give for the greatest harvest of my life? And I remember that was many years ago when I watched it the very first time. I said to myself, you know, really, Spencer, a lot of this stuff that you do is really for you. But what is it about God? What is it about what he's requiring? What is it about requiring and bringing forth the greatest harvest? You see, there had to be a question made, because when we had a church of 50, there was very little sacrifice that could be accomplished. But God said, if you want to bring increase to my kingdom, it's going to cost you, and it's going to cost you your liberty. It's going to cost you freedom. It's going to cost you anonymity. It's going to cost you the ability to go about and do whatever you want, because there are freedoms that were always lost whenever there's a great harvest that is about to be acclaimed. You see, you cannot have a phenomenal harvest without phenomenal sacrifice. Every one of us are in this room today because Jesus, the greatest seed, brought forth a great harvest. But let's break that down a little bit more, because every one of us are in this room because somebody shared Jesus with us. Somebody shared the greatest seed with our hearts. In the first service, I had my mom share, and my mom was brought up in a non-Christian home. She was brought up in Vermont. Now, you need to know, my grandfather was a very, very foul man. He was an alcoholic who used to beat my grandmother every single week. Now, I'm not talking like he punched her around a little bit. I'm talking punch her until she was just beaten down completely. I remember my ma came in one day, and there was my grandfather, you know, they're telling me, laying on the floor. My grandmother had just hit him over the head with a frying pan, knocked him right out. But they moved to New Hampshire. And when they moved to New Hampshire, my mom, who was 12 years old, didn't know anybody. And so what happened was, this girl came up and started talking to my mom, said, "Can I be your friend?" at 12 years old. She became my mother's friend and said, "I'd like to take you to church." My mom was the very first one in her entire family that went to church. And from there, literally every single member of the family started coming to the house of God. In fact, my grandfather would come every once in a while. Now, every one of them ended up accepting Jesus Christ. And out of that one girl's sacrifice, that one girl's seed, I want you to recognize the Bible makes the declaration that one plants, one waters, but God brings the increase. And if you want a great harvest, you must be willing to plant the seed of the gospel of Christ. The Bible makes the declaration that we are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. If you want a phenomenal harvest of your friends going to heaven, if you want people to know God, then there must be seeds that you and I plant into their life called the gospel of Christ. What is the gospel? It is the good news that Jesus Christ is a good God. He came and died on a cross, and he rose on the third day, and he's coming again one day to see him face to face. And if you confess him as your Lord Jesus, you can ask, and God will come in and dwell inside of you. You can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if you take your last breath, you'll be with God for all of eternity. It is not religion. It is literally a relationship with God himself. But it cost. To have the harvest cost. Because of that one girl, two of my uncles went into ministry. I'm in the ministry. We're ministering to thousands of people a week because of a 12-year-old little girl that befriended my mother and said, "Will you go to church with me?" See, so many times we look at things as, well, you know, that's the preacher's job, or, you know, I'm watching the preacher and he's supposed to do that and all that. That's all nice. But the fact is that God has placed all of us on the ground with the greatest seed, and the seed is the gospel of Jesus. And every one of us are in this room because somebody was willing to plant the seed in our life. Anybody ever heard of popcorn testimonies? We used to do them a long time. How many of you ever heard of popcorn testimonies? I'm just showing how old you are. Hallelujah. Popcorn testimonies are when all of a sudden you just do a one-liner. I want to ask you a question. Who is the person that led you to Jesus Christ? Who is the person that planted the seed in your life? Give me some names. Who else? Yes. Beverly Wales. She was in first service, and she led somebody else to the Lord. They gave a testimony too. Somebody else? Yes. Your mother. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes. Your mom, and she's right there. Ma, who led you to Jesus? Your grandmother led, see that? The power of the seed is generations. The power of the seed is generational. Come on, somebody else. Who led you to Jesus? Sister Roberta. Wow, praise the Lord. Yes. Ed Stein. Isn't that stinking cool? Ed Steinhauer. Yes. Bridget Weigel. You're a beast, Bridget. Hallelujah. Yes. Kate Jewell. Amen. She was in first service. Yes. Corinne Spencer. Amen. Yes. Phil, Rudy, and Isaiah led him to Jesus. Amen. Come on, somebody else. Who led you to Christ? Yes. Your dad. Amen. Yes. Jacob's brothers. You mean the singers? That's really cool. The Jacob's brothers. Yes. Penny Kent. Glory to God. Yes. Your husband. What a stud. We love him. Brother John Cohen. Yes.
Mom.
Your mom. Brother, you can't beat anything besides that. Mama leads you to Jesus. Come on, somebody else. Yes, in the back. Cameron Libby, glory to God. Come on now. Somebody else. Yes. The envoys, that's really cool. Yes. Maya Hayes, glory to God. Come on, somebody else. Who led you to Jesus? Yes. The Knapps, I love the Knapp family. They're amazing folks. Yes, Ma. Your mom and dad, amen. Come on, somebody else. Who led you to Jesus? Yes. Your sister, you just visited your sister too. Amen. Somebody else? Yes. Heather and Mackenzie. Hallelujah. Yes, young lady. Ashley and Heath Davis. I think they were in first service. Yep. Amen. Come on, somebody else? Yes. Rosalind Jeter. We love Roz. Amen. She's a soul winner, her and Marlo. Yes. Your husband did. Was that before or after he kissed you? He's a stud. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody else. Who led you to Jesus? Yes. Your mom. Amen. Come on, somebody else. Who led you to Jesus? Yes. Tess Fisher. Amen. Who's in Bible college right now out west. Amen. Somebody else. Who led you to Jesus? Yes. Who? A total stranger led you to Jesus. That's wild. Amen. Somebody else. Yes. Your mom. Amen. You know, yes. Your grandmother. Isn't that powerful? Come on. Yes. Patrick Crayley. Crayley. Uncle. Yes. Your Nama. Amen. That's so cool. Have you noticed something? It's not preacher. It's not, well, the pastor came to my house and let, you know what you're seeing? Is that the greatest seed for the greatest harvest is resident in every single one of you. Every single day, the message of the gospel. Every single day, God's got a message for you to bring to somebody. Because the truth is every time you plant the seed, there'll be a generational harvest that will go years and years and years. Isn't it powerful to realize the message that you carry and how powerful you are? Who led you to Jesus, young man? Your wife? Yeah. Yes. Bridget, man, she's got a row. Hallelujah. It's amazing how every one of us, we're around somebody so. How many of you know at least five people that if they died today, they wouldn't go to heaven? Not many of you. You need more friends. How many of you know at least five people if they died today would not go to heaven? Listen, how many of you know 10? You need more friends. Every one of us knows so many individuals that if they died today, they would not see Jesus face to face. The question comes down to is, why have they not been told? You see, when we recognize that the greatest harvest, the Bible says, he who wins souls is wise. When we recognize that literally every single individual, when they step into eternity, is either lost or found. They're either in heaven or they're going to be lost to the lake of fire. There is no second chance. There is no purgatory. There is no opportunities beyond the moment you take your last breath. You see, every one of us are compelled and should be compelled with the greatest seed of all. And that is that Jesus Christ came and he died. And God will bring forth a harvest from your seed that you plant in their life. You are so important. In first service, I think two or three young people said, Jody Dykes. Every one of us should have phenomenal opportunity every single day to share the gospel with somebody. And I want to challenge you today. That as your pastor, if you want the greatest harvest, you have to use the greatest seed. And the greatest seed is not church. The greatest seed is not religion. The greatest seed is not you and I doing nice things. But the greatest seed that we have is sharing Jesus with somebody. How he changed your life. How he changed who you are. How he's changing your children. How he's changing your generations. You see, I remember when my kids were born. And I remember looking at my wife when she was holding Cody and saying, "Don't blink." But I didn't realize how quickly that actually happens. Amen. Anybody got grandchildren in the room? Say amen. How quickly this happens. Well, you know, I'm just a young tyke. I don't even have a family yet. Listen, you're going to have a family. And when you do, you're going to have a baby. And when you have a baby, guess what's going to happen? Don't blink. Because generations are all of a sudden going to come out of your loins. And you're going to recognize that if I did not use the greatest seed, then I will lose my greatest harvest. But God is calling us to be people that will be producers for his kingdom. And God will get glory from your life when you start planting the seed of Jesus in people's lives. You see, today, every one of us are saved here, if you're born again, because somebody took the time and the sacrifice to plant the seed in your life. Every one of you, I want you to think about, who's that person that did that in your life? Just say it right out loud. You know, I'm not going to, just everybody say it right out loud. Who's that person's name? Right out loud. Oh, I love Dustin Coe. See, Dustin led you to Jesus? And you led the young lady to Jesus? No, you led the, who's been saved here? Who's been born again here because of Mackenzie Coe? One, two, three. Three young people who will have babies, who will raise their children to know God, who will then have and be grandparents. And because of Mackenzie Coe, there'll be so great a harvest in their lives. You see, today, you're not just some peon walking on the planet sucking air. You're a powerful man and woman of God with the harvest of heaven waiting to be released from your life. And if you and I will start being captivated more by Jesus, you know one thing I've said that I really truly believe. Some of us focus so much on this election. If you took literally an eighth of the energy you put into this election and put it into sharing Jesus with your friends, somebody been saved already. Can I hear an amen? If you took just an element of the energy that we spend that's wasted in foolishness, that will not last if we put that into somebody's salvation. Can you imagine the harvest that will happen in our lives? You see, because let's be honest. When you lead your friend to Christ, when somebody knows Jesus because of you and their entire life is transformed, there's no alcohol that can match it. There's no booze, excuse me, there's no drugs that can match it. There's no thing that you can buy that will satisfy it. When you lead someone to Jesus and their life is transformed and you see how God has used your life, it literally is a high that cannot be reproduced. It is so powerful. And God wants to show you that the harvest that he has for your life is not all the things the world can acquire, but he wants to have souls. The only thing you can take to heaven with you is a lost soul. Everything else is going to die. The only thing you and I have that we can take with us is somebody else. This next week, we're bringing in Brother Tiff Shuttlesworth. He's one of the greatest soul winners I have ever seen. We're going to have the ushers pass out invitations for you. I want you to invite at least 5 people to these services. Why? Because I'm believing God that this, at the end of this last year, 2016, we're going to have the greatest harvest. To date, I believe we've seen right around 300 people give their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ at His Tabernacle Family Church. And I don't know about you, that's something to give a shout about. Amen? That's a great harvest. The Bible, man, I teach the book of Acts, and one of the things that I pray for constantly is this. Lord, I want organic growth like you have in the book of Acts. You remember when Peter stood up the very first time and preached the gospel? 3,000 men got saved, not counting women and children. But what happened was this. The Bible says that the church was starting to be added to daily, and then it started to be added to in a multiplication process. And I challenge you. I'm believing God that the devil cannot have our region. I'm believing believe in God that he cannot have the kids of our region, that he cannot have your children, that he cannot have your grandchildren, that he cannot have the children of Corning, he cannot have the children of Spencer, he cannot have the children of Elmira, he cannot have the children of Horseheads. The devil cannot have our kids, but the church, the body of Christ, the sons and daughters of the Most High are going to be people of great harvest because we're people of the greatest seed. I want to challenge you. Fill this house next week. You know five people that need Jesus. Pastor, why are you asking us to ask five? Because probably two or three are going to say no. But that's okay, because you're planting a seed in them. Constantly, we don't recognize how powerful our lives are. And this week, I have one more bit of homework for you. Turn to someone and say, he just is giving us homework at church. What is wrong with this guy? I'm not in school no more. Here's your homework. I want you to buy a card or call the person or send them a letter that planted the seed of salvation in your life and say thank you. Some of you might be saying, well, they're not here anymore. They died. And that's reality. Maybe somebody that planted the seed of the gospel in your life is no longer here on this planet. What I want you to do is I want you to send the card or the letter to their child. What every family, I've done over 500 funerals, what every family is the most afraid of is that somebody's going to forget their loved one. A gift that you can give to generations is showing that because of that parent's life, that generations have been transformed because they shared the gospel with you. You can encourage another generation by showing the greatest harvest because of the greatest seed. And you can show that God will use them too to change the lives of the people around them. So everybody has homework. Shout, I got homework from church. What is this place? This is a learning house. I want everybody to send a card or a letter to the person who led you to Christ or planted the seed. And I want you to do this. I want you to think about this. Won't it be cool if 10 years down the road, you get a few of those letters? And how cruel would it be, let's just be harsh, how cruel would it be if the person you work next door, next to at work, ends up going to the lake of fire because you never even shared a word with them? In fact, the person you hate the most is the one you won't share the gospel with. I'll say that one more time. The person you hate the most is the one you won't share the gospel with. Because if you and I as believers know the reality and the truth that Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by him, if we know these truths but won't share them, then we honestly must despise who they are or we try to reach them for Jesus. There's no crueler person than seeing somebody getting ready to crash and die and not sending out a warning flag. Can I hear an amen or oh my? Today, I want you to recognize who you are. It's not your body shape. It's not your color. It's not your background. It's not the country you're from. You are sons and daughters of the Most High God carrying the message of heaven. You are the ambassador of the glory King. You are the one who has that message that will transform lives and generations. You hold the message of the kingdom of God, the seed of heaven. And today I challenge you as the pastor of this house that you will be one of great harvest, that you will be one who will look back at your life at 16 and say, I was able to lead two or three folks to Christ, that God would change generations and family members, that God will use you to bring forth transition to entire family units because you shared the greatest seed with somebody. Today, you are powerful people. Don't you ever look down at yourself. Don't you ever think of yourself any less than God has looked at you. And who has he said you are? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There's nothing I can't do. There's nothing that God has not given me the power to accomplish. And I can preach the gospel. I can share the gospel. And people will be transformed for all of eternity. Turn to someone and say, you are such a powerful person. Today, I am believing that it's going to be the greatest harvest at the end of this year than we've ever seen before. All because you're willing to share the greatest seed to acquire the greatest harvest. Bow your heads with me this morning. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus. I thank you for the Holy Spirit. I thank you, God, that you have not left us comfortless, but God, by your Spirit, you dwell inside of us. And because you dwell inside of us, there is all the power that we need to do the will and the work of heaven. I thank you that today, God, you have commissioned us. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. I thank you, God, that every one of us are in a different sphere of influence. That, Lord, there are people around us that, Lord, are our family member or our friends or our co-workers. That, Lord, you have placed us on a mission. And Lord, you have put us on assignment that we may share the gospel with them. Lord, I pray that our testimony will be one that will bring glory to your name. That, Lord, they will not question whether God is real or good because of how we live. But that, Jesus, they'll say, I want the God that you have. I don't know what it is about you, but I know that you're different. Lord, I thank you that today we are the body of Christ. We are the church. We are your sons and daughters. And we are powerful. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you've not received him into your life. I'm not asking you to join a church. I'm not asking you to join religion. I want you to know him. I want you to have a relationship with God. Today, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior and you want him in your life, I'd like you to slide your hand up right now. I want to lead you to the best friend you're ever going to have. Is there anyone in the room this morning that would like to receive Christ as their Savior? I'm not going to wait real long. Five. Come on, get your hand up. Four. Three. Two, last call. Thank you. Thank you, young man. Put your hand right back down. Is there anyone else this morning? Last call and one. Let's all stand to our feet. You know, this week, God's going to give you opportunity. Turn to someone and say, I know God's going to give you opportunity. How do I know that? Because the Lord said, pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers. Today, God is sending you out on a mission with the greatest seed to bring a great harvest so that next week you're going to be able to walk up front with your friend and share the gospel and see him saved. Let me tell you something, there's nothing greater. Amen? I said amen. Father, I just release a blessing on this house in the name of Jesus. I declare us soul winners in the name of Jesus. I declare God will put energy into reaching the lost at any cost. I declare that we are not ashamed of your gospel, Jesus. I declare, God, we will accomplish what our purpose is in this life. And that, Lord, when we die, we see you, you'll say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That, Lord Jesus, will bring glory to your name. Lord, we thank you for the privilege and awesome honor to handle the gospel and the good news. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, could I have the altar team come to the front real quickly? Today, if you raise your hand for, say, oh, he's already here. He already came for it. Dude, all right. You want God. I'm proud of you. Maybe you didn't raise your hand for salvation, but you'd like to give your heart to Christ. I'd like you to come right up here. Mama, coming up too. Oh, I'm proud of you, baby girl. Hallelujah. So proud. Today's a great day. Amen. Two souls. The Bible says all of heaven cracks wide open for two souls. He says when one person comes back to the Lord, all of heaven goes into a party. Can I hear an amen? Can you give God a shout for the souls that are getting saved this morning? Come on, don't let the angels out shout you. Can I pray with you real quickly? Dear Jesus, pray right out loud with me. Dear Jesus, I need you in my life. Today I'm making a decision. I am going to serve you with everything that's in me. I confess that you are God. I confess you rose from the dead. And right now, I surrender my life. I plant my life in you, and I will have the greatest harvest. I'm never going back. There's nothing to go back to. I'll serve you the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I'd like to go right over here with Miss Mindy. Miss Mindy, and she's going to make sure you get a Bible and are encouraged and built. Turn to someone and say, what are we saying? What do they call that? What is it? What's it called? Step one. Oh, next step. Turn to someone and say, next step. Step one. Shout, I'm going to rock solid faith this week. Boy, some of you didn't say anything. Turn to somebody. I'm going to rock solid faith this week. Tuesday night at 7 p.m., Wednesday morning at 9 a.m., or Thursday night at 6 p.m. We'll see you at Rock Solid Faith. We love you. Serve God with all of your heart. Bring in the harvest for the glory of God. If you're a guest this morning, we'd love to meet with you personally. Go right on the other side of this wall. There's a guest reception just for you.